Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Heart, an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life Kingdom Builders. Our ministry website is www.newvisionforlife.com, where we align our hearts with the heart of God. Please join our host, Bishop Etta Banks, as we get to the heart of the matter.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Good morning, beloveds. This is Apostle Etta Banks, your host on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. And, of course, we have our wonderful, magnificent, marvelous co-host. Good morning to you, beloved.
Good morning. Good morning, good morning, good morning to you. This is Minister Tabika Garnes, and I'm happy to be back. I missed you guys last week, but I know that you had me on your heart.
Amen. We surely did. We surely did. Good to have you back in the co-hosting seat. Amen. And I
Amen.
Still think we're going to do a petition to keep you from going away.
Okay, no.
Oh, goodness, my goodness, my goodness. Yes, love, yes, love. So good morning to Tamika Shelton. Praise be unto God. God bless her. And Lord God, whatever she needs today, Lord, let it be hers. In Jesus' name, amen. That just came out of nowhere. So to God be the glory, to God be the glory. Amen. So good morning to Tamika. Good morning to Lady Joyce, my beloved friend in the Lord, my sister in the Lord. Praise be unto God, our greatest and longest follower. We just love her, and I thank God for her. Good morning to Joyce in New York. Praise be unto God. She's our, let's say, our longest, what we call a long distance, the most consistent long distance caller. That's it. She is the most consistent long distance caller. So good morning to her and to her family, to Lady and Prophetess Dawn, to Prophetess Kim, Isaiah in New York, my cousin in New York, Isaiah in Chicago, good morning to you all. And I did say Prophetess Kim, correct? Yeah, I believe I did. Okay. Good morning to Deacon Thomas Farr, who has his own show, Issues Christian Men Talk. So good morning to him. Good morning to Michelle Stevens, good morning, amen, to Donna Matabucci. Good morning to all of you. Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is, again, the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's awesome, awesome, awesome day. Beloved, it is in your hands right now.
Well, thank you. I just want to say good morning to, well, Apostle already said good morning to all of our callers. I just want to, again, just thank you all for joining us on a Saturday morning. You could be doing anything, but you decided to spend your time with us this morning. We do appreciate it. We don't take it for granted. We thank you for all of your support, and we know that it's getting warmer, and I know many people are probably wanting to, you know, be outside and enjoy the warm air, but you guys have always been consistent. No matter what the weather is, you always join us for an hour, and we really do appreciate that. So today is supposed to be an awesome day outside, and so I just want you guys to get out there and enjoy it and, you know, breathe in that warm air and let it, you know, resonate within you and just give some thought to what God is doing in your life. And maybe if you can get to a park, go to a park and just begin to write down things as the birds are chirping and you looking around and seeing the kids and everything playing, just begin to write down some things that God has done in your life or he's speaking to you. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Look, I did not know it was supposed to be weather-wise as good as you're saying. I didn't mm-hmm. know. You know, I get up and I'm saying every day is every day is a good day, but you
mm-hmm.
make it sound like I need to finish this show and get outside.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am, you should. It's supposed to be, I think, 72 degrees or something like that, I think.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's awesome. That is awesome. Well, folks, if you didn't know it already, just like I didn't know, if you didn't know it already, then you need to get yourselves together and get outside and see what's going on in the outside world. So, you know, last night, just before we go into prayer, last night my car started acting up. And at first, well, somebody else was driving the car. And the, you know, your headlights that you have in the, of course, in the front of the car, they have two or three different components to it. So there's the turn signal light, there's another light, and then there's your main light. And the light in the middle of the two lights would not come on. And so it made driving at night, and this is like 11:30 or so at night, driving at night was difficult because we didn't have as much illumination as we needed. So after I got dropped off at my home, because I let my daughter and my goddaughter use the car, after they dropped me off at home and then they went home, well, lo and behold, then the lights would not go out. They would not go out. So I had lights that wouldn't come on, and the ones that were on would not go out. And so they brought the car back over to me to leave it in the parking lot where I live, because if the lights are left on, you know, overnight, it's going to draw attention. But in the parking lot, since I live in a parking lot now, I mean, I don't live in a parking lot. Where I live has a parking lot versus it being on the street, you know, where they live, and somebody seeing it, it would draw more attention with it sitting on the street. So it was brought back here. And then with the light left on, and of course, if the light is left on, the battery will probably be dead, you know, in the morning today. It would probably be dead when I go out there. And I did end up calling one of the fellows from our church who will come by today to check it out, but he won't be able to get here until about 2 o'clock today. So I'm on ground. I can't go anywhere until after that's checked out. But it was so interesting to me that, you know, the last thing basically that I dealt with at night was dealing with that car. And I said, that car, God forgive me, because I love my car. I really love my car. But dealing with the car, dealing with the light issues and so forth and so on, and I'm thinking, so is this supposed to keep me from moving about during the day? You know, and the battery also is brand new, just replaced it about a month or two ago, just replaced the battery about a month or so ago. And I'm saying to myself, you know, even this can't keep me down. I've got to do the things I've got to do, go the places I've got to go, and I know that things will work out okay. And I am crazy enough I'm crazy enough to believe that I could go out there this morning and press the button, turn on the car and whatever, and everything be working the way that it's supposed to be working. So as we pray today, you know, we'll be praying, and please keep me in prayer as far as my car is concerned, you know, and that it will be an easy fix. But it sounds like it's something either electrical, dealing with the lights. It could be a fuse somewhere. I don't know. But like I said, some lights won't come on, and other lights and the ones that are on would not go off. So it's an interesting case, an interesting case. But it shall be solved today. It shall be solved today. Praise be unto God. All right, all right. Woman of God, would you mind opening us up in prayer this morning?
Sure.
Thank you.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to your marvelous name, O God. Thank you, Lord God, for who you are. Thank you for your presence on this line today, Lord God. Thank you, Father, for your truth, your grace, and your mercy. Thank you for your unconditional love. Thank you for your guidance and your direction. Thank you for your healing and your deliverance, O God. Thank you for showing us the way. Thank you for being a way maker. Thank you for taking care of our every need, O God. Thank you for protecting us, Lord God, and from things seen and unseen, O God. And thank you for the people that you placed in our life, O God. Thank you for those that you removed for whatever reason you needed to remove them from our lives, O God. We just say thank you. And we come to you this morning, O God, with gladness in our hearts, O God, no matter what our circumstance looks like around us or what's going on in our relationships or what's going on at work or wherever, Lord God. We come to you with gladness in our hearts, O God, because you are faithful and we are alive and we're here. And so, God, we just want to say thank you. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our lives, O God. Sometimes we bypass the little things that you've done in our lives, God, and we just want to thank you for those little things, like just making sure that we have a roof over our head and food in our refrigerator, Lord God. And thank you, Lord God, that we have life. And thank you, Father God, for our families, Lord God. Just thank you for everything that you've given us, Father, in the name of Jesus, God. And we ask for forgiveness for those things, those sins, those things we've done in thought, word, or deed, oh God. We're asking for forgiveness now, oh God, that you would check our hearts and begin to just show us the things that are still lying dormant within our hearts that we may have thought we let go. Lord God, Lord, we don't want anything to hinder us, to hinder our relationship with you, Lord God. And so, Father God, we repent of those things, and we begin to turn away from the things that we keep doing over and over and over again, oh God, that we may put our minds and our hearts to changing the things that we do that aren't pleasing to you, Father. We say thank you, Lord God, for being faithful to us. Even when we're not faithful to you, Lord God, you still push us to do better. You still want us to succeed, oh God, and we just thank you for being the same God yesterday, today, and forever, oh God. But you are our peace, Lord. You are our joy. You are everything that we will ever, ever, ever need, Father. And, Lord, we just lift up your people today. Well, some may be struggling, Lord God, in whatever areas that they're struggling in. Some may be hurting, Lord God, physically and emotionally, Lord God, and mentally, God, and even spiritually. And so we, Lord, ask that you cover those people, God, and give them peace now, and let them know that you are with them. Let them know that you have not forgotten them, O Lord God. Let them know that you feel every pain and hurt that they have experienced or that they're going through right now, Father God, and give them the strength to hold on and not turn away from you, Lord God, and not just give up, Lord God, but they will see you for who you are, that they will begin to hear you, Lord God, and trust in you even more, and that they will just let go and not allow fear to be the direction in their lives, oh God, but they would allow your love to just consume them and overwhelm them, that they would begin to see in a different way, Lord God, and that their mindsets, Lord God, would change, and they would push and they would fight even harder to be in that place where you called them to be. Lord God, we thank you for all that you're doing, not just right now, Lord God, but just the things that you are doing even in the future, Lord God. Just the destiny that you placed within us, God, let us begin to see and understand what that is and not be afraid of it, but go after it. And we give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, 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 amen. Bless the Lord, bless the Lord. Ooh, praise be unto God. I love to hear you pray. I just love to hear you pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you,
amen.
Jesus.
Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. All righty, all righty. Well, listen, folks, today we're going to discuss the grasshopper complex. We're going to talk about the grasshopper complex. And if you are not aware of what the grasshopper complex is, well, needless to say, you'll know by the time we get through discussing this today, you'll know what it is. So I'm going to give you a brief synopsis of what does it mean to have a grasshopper complex. First of all, let's see here. Have you ever been in a situation where you are faced with some type of, okay, like I was sharing about my car today, okay. So you have some type of trial that has come up, something that you're facing, whether it's a major test, whether it's something on your job, a big project on your job that you have to do. Those of us that have churches, one of the biggest things that we face is growing a church, you know, getting our lessons together and so forth, you know, to teach and to preach. Of course, that is a major thing, but the whole idea of us being in church, not the whole idea, but one of the biggest things in the church is church growth. It's church growth. The church growth is not just to indicate, you know, you got a lot of people in your church, but what it's supposed to indicate is the fact that the people, the congregants are reaching to others. And the gospel of God is going forth, and people are accepting Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and therefore they're coming into the church to be taught and trained and so forth. You know, you can reach people anywhere on the street and so forth and so on, but they get their equipping and their training and so forth when they come to church, and that's what, you know, you're pastors and your ministers do, and it is the congregation that really brings in the sheep. So it's sheep begetting sheep. So that is the big thing. And remember, I mentioned, you know, whether it's something on your job, even something in your relationship that you have looked at and you felt that this was bigger than you. This was bigger than you, and you felt like you just could not accomplish this thing because it is so large. Well, it's interesting, and just as I was saying it just now, something dropped in my spirit. It's interesting that the way we think about those things now is exactly the way things were thought about back in Moses' day, and Caleb and Joshua and the 12 tribes of Judah, the 12 tribes. This is exactly the way that they thought. You know, things were bigger than they, and they couldn't accomplish it because they felt so small in comparison to what it was they had to do. Hence comes the terminology, the grasshopper complex. Now, the story of the grasshopper complex, you'll find that in Numbers chapter 13, Numbers chapter 14, and Deuteronomy 1, Deuteronomy 1. And so I'm going to recap this, the story for you. The Israelites had come out of Egypt under the leadership of Moses, and they were on the peninsula of Sinai, and that's where they received the law, the law, the Ten Commandments and so forth, and they had prepared for entering into the Promised Land, and they were ready to do so. They had this long, hard trip, you know, that they had to go on, and here they were on the southern border of Canaan at the edge of the Promised Land, right there on the threshold of victory. They were right there to the Promised Land after they had gone through everything that they had gone through. And in doing so, everything has happened that has happened. It's been leading up to this moment. It's been leading up to this moment. And then God's leader says, he says in Deuteronomy 1, 20 and 21, you have come to the hill country of the Amorites, which the Lord our God is about to give us. See, the Lord your God has placed the land before you. Go up, take possession, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has spoken to you. Do not fear or be dismayed. That's Deuteronomy 1, 20 and 21. And I want to read that again. There's so many points in that. So go up to the hill. I mean, you have come to the hill country of the Amorites, which the Lord our God is about to give us. See, the Lord your God has placed the land before you. Go up. Okay, that's one command he's telling them. Go up. Take possession, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has spoken to you. Do not fear or be dismayed. So now, here are the people, the leader is telling them, you know, go ahead. Here we are. We can go. We can take the land. God has already said that he has given it to us. He's about to give it to us. So go ahead and take possession of it. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. And here they are on the verge of victory, and they hesitated. They hesitated. They suggested that they send people out to spy the land and see if it was going to be profitable for them to go on and take the land. So 12 men were selected, one from each tribe, and they are told to go throughout the land, checking on whether the land is worth fighting for and how hard would it be for them to take the land. Now, remember, with what I just read and also in the book of Exodus, is that God had already told them these things. He said that the land is good and that with his help they will be able to drive out the inhabitants and possess the land. But instead of the people walking on what God said, they said, look, we want to check it out ourselves. And so, you know, God agrees. If that's what you want to do, you don't want to do God's will, don't worry. God will not force us to do his will. And I do believe, you know, when we talk about God's permissive will, this is one of the areas where his permissive will went into play. God's will was that they would obey him. They would listen to what he had to say. He told them that the land was fruitful. He told them that he would help them drive out the inhabitants. He told them that he would give them the land. And man decided, look, we will check it out ourselves. We will go see if the land is what it said it was. We will do that. And then we will come back and we will let Moses know. So they go ahead and they head out. Minister Tabika, do you want to pick up there? You want me to go on?
You can go on.
Okay. All righty, beloved. So they go ahead, they head out, and okay, that's right. Yeah, so they head out. And it was over 40 days that they traveled. They traveled 250 miles. They traveled. And they scoped out the land. They saw what they had to see. And then it was 250 miles back. In the manner of this, they also, as they were coming back, they ended up bringing back some evidence of how fruitful the land was. They brought back this cluster of grapes, and the grapes, you know, had to be carried on a pole. The grapes were humongous. They were humongous grapes, very large, very fruitful. In fact, as I'm picturing these grapes, you know, and I'm seeing men at the end of each of the poles, the grapes are are draped over the pole, heavy, and so forth. This was evidence of how fruitful the land were. So here they come back to give their report. Now, remember, there was 12 of them that went up to, you know, went to check out the land. So this 10, this is the majority of them, they came back and they said, yes, you know, the land is very fruitful. It's very fruitful. But listen what they said. This is in Numbers chapter 13, verse 26 and 27. So they said, yes, the land is fruitful. Nevertheless, the people who live in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. Amalek is living in the land of, and I'm not sure how to pronounce this, Negev, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites are living in the hill country, and the Canaanites are living by the sea and by the side of Jordan. So all of this was true. Everything they said was true. The land was fruitful, but the people are living all over the place, all surrounding the area that they want. And he named the different groups of people that were living here. And the cities are fortified. They're very large. They could see the descendants of Anak living there and so forth. So it was all true. And in them looking at this, it's amazing at what difference it makes on how you present the truth and what you select to tell and not to tell. Now, what I mean by that, these 10 people, this is the picture that they gave of what the land looked like, what the people looked like. But then along comes Caleb and Joshua, who went to the same place as these 10 that the other 10 went to, and they are like, okay, so what? Yeah, the place is fortified. They got great walls around them, great people around them, tall people. They're looking like giants and so forth. He said, but so what? We can still take this. And the 10 of them get all upset. They get excited and like, what in the world are you talking about? The land is full of good things to eat. Yeah, that's true. And we saw that. But now the land is going to eat us up. The people are going to eat us up. The inhabitants of the land, they are great stature. They are actually giants. And then here's what they said. We became like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight. In other words, they saw the people of the land to be so big, they were giants. And they said, these are giants. And we feel like little bitty grasshoppers in comparison to them. And if we feel like grasshoppers in our own sight, surely we must look like grasshoppers to them. And if we're grasshoppers to them, they are going to eat us up. They are going to kill us. There's no way that we can take this land. Absolutely no way that we can take the land. Now, remember, 10 people are saying that, and the 2 people are saying, come on, we can do this. God said that we could do this. And this is the way it is when we're in our churches, in our relationships, in our jobs, whatever the case may be, the situation seems larger than us. It seems bigger than us. And yet God has said, da-da-da-da-da, God has said, blah, 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 blah. In other words, it's whose report are we going to believe? Are we going to believe the report of the doctor, the report of our bosses, the report of whoever it is that's in the marriage relationship that thinks that they have the major control? Are we going to believe, you know, when we look at church growth, are we going to believe that because we're in this place that we can't grow anymore and so forth and so on? What are we going to believe? What did God say about this? What did God say? God is ready. He is so ready to do what needs to be done for us to succeed. As we look further in the story, and it says in the book of Numbers, chapter 14, verse 10b, can you not see the stones dropping from their hands and their mouths dropping open? God is ready to wipe the people out, but Moses intercedes for them. The results are still tragic. The 10 spies were killed immediately. So hear this. Now, after God had told them, I'm giving you the land, so you don't have to worry. He said, fear not. Don't be dismayed at what you may see. I'm going to give you that land. And then these 10 come back with this story of how big everything is and how big the people are. There's no way that we can handle this and so forth and so on. And God was ready to wipe them out. Moses intercedes for the people, but the 10 spies, they died still immediately. They died immediately. And the Israelites never made it into the promised land at that point. They wandered for 40 years in the wilderness, 1 year for each day that was spent spying out the land, 1 year for each day. And only their children ended up inheriting the land. And this was all because of the grasshopper complex, all because they felt that there was no way they could do it. They felt like grasshoppers. And I can't do it. I heard what God said, but the people that I'm working with, the people that I'm dealing with, the person in my marriage, the boss on my job, you know, whatever the case may be, they said thus and so. And I'm going to believe their report instead of believing the report of the Lord. Again, whose report are you going to believe? Our trials can seem so big, and we could feel so small. But here is where we go wrong. We end up magnifying the problem. We magnify it that you how they talk about things with that snowball effect. You know, it's something that starts out, you have a little snowball, but you keep rolling it down the hill, it gathers more and more snow, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger until that snowball is as large as a giant ball. And then when you magnify this thing, it is too much for you. You say, there's no way I can do it. The Shema says, we can't grow because the world around us is so ungodly. And that's something that we look at today, talking about church growth. The world is getting more and more ungodly day by day. Certainly more ungodly than it was when a lot of us were younger. And when I look at that, I think about the time when I was a young kid, which was, 60 years ago when I was young. When you walked down the street and walked in front of a church, if you were cussing, you stopped cursing. If you were smoking and drinking, you stopped doing that. You had respect for the people and so forth and so on. And nowadays you don't see that. And it's like, just the world has become more ungodly day by day. And yet when we look at it, in Paul's day, the people were very ungodly in their day. We have ungodly people all along. But did not Paul speak to the people in the ungodly city and people were converted? Thousands of people were being added to the church, all the time. And Paul indicates that the darker the world is, the brighter our lights will shine. The brighter our lights will shine. We will stand out all the more because the world is darker. So we shouldn't be discouraged by what is going on. Don't be discouraged about the things that are happening at the job. The world is not only ungodly, it is totally indifferent about things. Materialism is rampant. People are looking more at what they can do and get material-wise versus spiritual. They're interested in the physical things instead of the spiritual things. And, yes, they seem disinterested. They seem like they don't care. But, beloved, let me tell you, people are searching, longing for something spiritual that they can hold on to. They are longing for it. And if we walk around saying that we can't have church because of the gangsters on the corner, we can't have church because, you know, people won't come out to church because there's drug dealers on the corner, drive-by shootings and so forth. And I know I'm naming neighborhoods, you know, that a lot of us don't live in, a lot of us do live in. But these are some of the things, some of the reasons we come up with all of these things. They're greater than what we have in God. They're greater. The unchurched people, there are more unchurched people than there are churched people. There are more of them than there is of us. And it's saying by all of that, that we are not reaching out. We have started walking in fear. We have gotten to the place where we're not hanging on to God's word. Even the unchurched people are taking their kids out of public schools and they're putting them in private schools, and most of the private schools are religious private schools. So they want the children to receive religious instruction. They want them to live moral lives and so forth and so on. Even if they don't commit to going to church, this is what they want. They want what we have. Understand that. The unchurched people want what we have. And no, they may not say, we want Jesus. But see, what they want is happiness. They want peace of mind. They want strong, happy families. They want to be successful. And these things come through Jesus Christ as we live life the way that Jesus calls us to live life and him being the center of that life or the center of the wheel. It is because of him that we're able to do the things that we do. They want to have peace in the midst of the storm. They see us with all kinds of things going on in our lives, and yet there is a sense of peace that we're going to make it. That's something that Tabika and her husband had to experience recently. But getting peace when something has turned your world upside down, they want that, folks. We have what others want. We cannot walk in the fear that our trials are bigger than us or bigger than our God. There's the saying that we've got to stop telling God how big our problems are and start telling our problems how big our God is. How big our God is. Trusting what he said. Trusting on how he does live up to what he said he would do. Beloved, would you have anything to say about this thus far?
Yes, ma'am. I just wanted to go back to the part where you talked about how they, because I saw some comparison in this when they talked about they saw giants and then they saw themselves as grasshoppers. How many times have we done that where we looked at somebody else and said, oh, man, that person is so awesome and amazing, and they gave this person all these lovely attributes and everything, and then they talked about themselves and did not do the same. It's like we compare ourselves to situations and other people's gifts and other people's talents when that's not the truth. And it's like, who told you that you were a grasshopper?
You know, why did you make yourself so low? You know, why do we do that to ourselves? Why do we make ourselves seem so weak and so less than when we serve an awesome God and we come from royalty and we were created in his image and we have the mind of Christ? Why do we do that? Why do we just make ourselves feel like we're nothing or we're not worthy or we can't do A, B, and C? We already, they already knew what God said. God had already told them what was going to happen. But then they get into the actual situation, and they just let what they saw change their mind about what God said. And we do that all the time. Like, God tells us certain things. God gives us direction. Then when we come up against something that may seem like a giant or a mountain, we quickly forget what God said. And when God tells you something, when God gives you a direction for something, God tells you something great that's going to happen, you know, God says he's going to do A, B, and C for you, and then we get into a situation where it kind of looks like it's not going to happen. So we just easily retreat. We just easily give up, even though God's word is greater, even though, you know, what God said is greater than the situation that you're in or the problem that you come up against. And I think what is the problem is that we don't understand the power that lives in us. We don't understand it. We don't give that power that lives in us a chance to work because we're always trying to jump in there and change things around and make it work for us. When God has already given us a plan, don't try to help him out. Don't, I mean, he needs our help to do certain things to make that promise come forth. But what I'm saying is don't try to help him out in a way of trying to change it or trying to make it fit what you understand, because we're not to lean on our own understanding. We are to trust in the Lord. And a lot of us forget that when we come up against certain situations. And the thing about it is when we get to that point and we stop comparing ourselves to each other, or we stop comparing our situation to somebody else's situation, we will understand who we are in Christ. We will understand why we're going through what we're going through. If we could just take our eyes off of other people and other situations, because comparison will kill your identity. It'll make you wonder who you really are. And did God say that? And okay, God may have said that, but I don't see it yet. It's been 20 years, and I don't see it. It hasn't manifest yet, so it must mean that wasn't God who spoke to me. Like, we have so much power. And if I could just quickly share what just recently, you know, with Mark and I, you know, our taxes. We filed our taxes, and our federal refund got intercepted by Social Security Administration. And some years back when my husband was really sick, he was on Social Security disability because he couldn't work. And the time when he was healed, when he was able to work again, once he got back into the flow of being able to work, we told Social Security to stop the checks because we didn't need him anymore, that he was working. So they didn't stop him, and then they told us that we had an overpayment, that they overpaid us. So we had made arrangements, you know, to pay the money back. And at one point, my husband went to go get a waiver to waive the amount, and he was told that, you know, we don't even know where the paperwork is, but he did go to Social Security. They said, okay, everything is taken care of. And that was that. Now, this was back in 2015, maybe 2016 when he did this waiver. We never heard anything else from Social Security, never. Then we go to see what the holdup was in the return, and then we get a letter saying that Social Security intercepted it. And we're like, how? Like, we don't understand. Like, we haven't heard anything from Social Security in years. So when he called, he was told that some new law has passed where they can go back and if there's an overpayment, they can just take your money, and it doesn't matter whether you had a waiver or not. They can still take your money. And so at that moment, we felt defeated because that money was going to help us pay our rent. And so Apostle Griffin, who does our taxes, she is connected to our ministry. She's a good friend of Apostle Banks. And she called and she said, you know, you two are ministers of the gospel. You need to speak to your situation. You know, basically just don't stand there and allow things to keep coming at you and you do nothing about it. And so we said, you know, okay, because she was saying that she's some of the people's taxes that she's done, that they've taken the state as well as the federal. And so we're like, man, you know, what are we going to do, blah, blah, blah. So we prayed a prayer out of, we have this red book called Prayers. It was a prayer in there about finances. We prayed that prayer that same night that she called us back and told us to take authority. We prayed that prayer. The next day, Mark came into the bedroom to get something, and he noticed his shofar had fallen on the floor. So he picked up bar, and when he picked it up, he began to blow it. But normally he has, like, a hesitation, or it's hard to get the get it out because it's kind of hard to blow. But he said when he blew it, it just flowed. It came out. The sound just was – it just came out. And we know that that was the Holy Spirit actually blowing the shofar on our behalf, which was a victory blow. And that was, I think that was Wednesday morning. And by Wednesday afternoon, I was at Bible study, and the Holy Spirit said, check your bank account. And so I looked at my bank account, and the state was actually deposited into the bank account. And all I could do at that moment, because I was at Bible study, I wanted to scream so loud, but I had to catch myself. And I was smiling so hard because the enemy, you know, and we don't want to give the enemy credit in all things. We don't. But when your money is just snatched like that out of the blue, it's like, that was my money. And you don't just sit there and just allow things to happen to you. You got to go into battle. You got to claim what's yours. And although the federal government might have taken the federal, we still got victory out of that because we still got the state. And so what I'm saying is we so easily just allow thing about it. We may pray, but it's like, oh, God, this, that, and the other happened, and it just happened. No, we have to pray with boldness. We have to get in God's face. We have to be covered by that armor that he's given us, so when we go into warfare, we're protected. We got to stop standing by and allowing the enemy to do whatever is coming our way. We just sit there and take it. No, we don't. We fight. Because God has given us the strength to do that. And so just like in the natural, when somebody takes something that belongs to you, you go after it like, uh-uh, that's mine, give it back. We don't do that in the spiritual realm. We just, there's nothing I can do. Yes, it is. Because God has given you the power, the authority, and the dominion to take back what belongs to you. So from this point on, because God showed me, you know, my faith was increased. My faith became stronger just from that little incident. It did something to me. And so I pray that prayer every night, and Mark blows that shofar after that prayer, because it's time that we stop just being naive and sitting back and just allowing the enemy just to punch us right and left and in our face. No, we stop. That stops here. We take authority and we walk in the boldness that God has given us, because sometimes these situations happen because that's exactly what God wants you to do. Take authority so you can see what power that lives within you. And when you tap into it and you activate it and you allow that power to work, that power will work on your behalf.
Woo! Go ahead, girl. As you can hear, I should say. So they went through They went through, and look at the power and the strength that she came out of there with, that they came out of there with, trusting and believing in God. At first being discouraged, and, you know, and the enemy had took what was theirs, but then they got the right attitude. And that's the same thing we need to do when we deal with this grasshopper complex. That's the same thing we need to do. First of all, do not minimize what you are capable of doing, because Christ has got your back. The Holy Spirit is working with you. So do not minimize. This is how you beat that grasshopper complex. Do not minimize what God says you are and what you are capable of. And above all, don't minimize what God can do with you. Do not do that. There's just so much that God has told us that we can do throughout the body and what He is doing for us. And you hear it in Tabitha's voice. I mean, you hear it in her voice, you know, the different attitude in which they took on things. And the enemy, you know, may try to bother them again, but they're not going to sit there and take it. It's whose report do you believe? I believe the report of the Lord. God said I can do this. I am going to do this. I am not going to let this demon take advantage of me anymore. So we end up limiting ourselves, you know, by a lack of faith. That's why
Apostle,
we feel like grass. Yes?
Apostle, excuse me one second. We do have a caller that wishes to speak.
Okay. All right.
You're welcome. Your last four digits are 7314. Good morning.
I'm sorry. Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hello? Okay, I'm sorry. I had my phone on mute. This is Sister Michelle. Hello, everyone. Thank you, Minister Tabitha, for sharing that testimony. It's definitely an encouragement to me just to believe God's word and to fight the good fight of faith. But anyway, so I just wanted to quickly say, for me, the challenge for me in just believing in what God has said about me and what He's going to do is just low self-esteem that I struggled with for years as a result of the verbal abuse that I grew up with as a child, my whole childhood, not just a few years, just because of what I dealt with my mother, just emotional and verbal abuse. So I didn't get encouragement coming up. I didn't get the support that children, you know, who come from healthy homes get from their parents. You know, you can do this. I didn't get that. So I'm learning with God how to build myself up. So it takes time, and that's only going to happen as you stay in the Word. So I'm making sure that I'm staying in the Word as much as I can, because faith comes by hearing the Word, and that's how you get stronger. Mm-hmm. So I'm making sure that I stay in the Word, and my mind is being renewed. So you got to stay in the Word. And then as you do that, your faith and you are being built up, so that no matter what the situation is, that God will be able to work through you and do what He wants to do. So I just wanted to share. For me, that's why it has been a struggle. But I'm learning and I'm getting there. But I'm definitely staying in the Word, just eating the Word. The Word has got to be there, because God works through His Word. So you got to feed yourself the Word in order to get to that place.
Amen. Amen, amen. And we thank you so much for sharing that. And again, this is what the show is about. You know, this is what this broadcast is about, Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. And Michelle, you know, I know people hear you saying, you know, stay in the Word, stay in the Word. And you have shared with me personally of how you stay in the Word, how much time you have the Word going into your spirit man. Could you tell our audience about how you have the Word being input daily?
I'm sorry, Apostle Banks, I didn't get the last sentence. Could you repeat that?
Sure. Could you share with us how the method that you are using to see to it that you're getting word daily?
All day. So I recently just came out of an adulterous relationship, and in trying to before I came back to the Lord, I just realized I had to let go of the secular music, everything, and I began to listen to the gospel all day long. I would have my earbud, my Bluetooth on at work with the one ear, and I was just listening, and I would have the other ear out so I could converse with people. But all day I was just feeding my spirit the word of God, the gospel, just listening to the word. And so it was comforting, and it helped me really to come back to the Lord because I was just feeding my spirit, and I just felt myself wanting, you know, the hunger was building up. But now that I'm back in the Lord, I'm still doing that because I said, okay, this is what got me my deliverance. I got to keep doing this and then some. So I'm still listening to the gospel. I don't listen to any other secular music. I got rid of all of that off my phone. I'm just listening to that all day. I got my scriptures that I put up on my every hour it comes up on my computer. So I meditate on the word, and when it comes up, I speak it. I'm meditating on that all day long. On my lunch, I read my hour devotional. I do that just so that when I come home, I can spend time with prayer and with my husband. So that's my time to eat spiritually. So I said, I don't skip no meals in the natural every day, so I don't need to skip no time every day in the word. So I do that, and then when I'm home, I might watch some televangelists. It's like all day. It's just the word all day long, all day.
Amen. Amen. And the reason why I ask you to explain that, because I know there are times when we hear people say things and we think that they're just using terminology, man. Like when you say, I'm listening to the word all day long. Well, people are thinking, well, there's no way you're listening all day long because you got to work and you got to do this and you got to do that. And when you explain to me how you literally have the word going in 24/7, and folks, when I say 24/7, right? I'm telling you. So she even told me at one time that she sleeps with her Bluetooth or her earbuds in her ear, and the word is going in then. So she's constantly getting the word. And it reminded me of Sophia Ruffin, who was a homosexual and a lesbian, however you want to deem it. And when she got saved, exactly what Michelle is saying is she's doing, this is what Sophia did, and she went from being a young girl basketball player, not wealthy at all, to becoming a prophet to the nation. This child is traveling all over. She's not a child. I think she's in her late 30s, mid 30s or so. But she's traveling all over the world now, prophesying, preaching the word of God, just doing all kinds of stuff. And he asked her about how that change came about. She said she lived in the word. She got consumed by the word. And when I hear Michelle saying how much time she spends in the word or allowing the word to go into her, I'm saying, Lord, what are you doing in this woman's life? How are you going to use this woman? Because she is definitely becoming walking word, definitely becoming walking word. Ladies, listen, I am so sorry. We're at the end of our time. I just want to still encourage you. Listen, the solution to how to come out of that grasshopper complex, number one, is don't minimize who you are in Christ Jesus, and definitely number two, do not minimize what God can do. Do not minimize it. God has said that if we go and teach the word, that he will be with us. God has promised that his word will not return unto him void. So therefore, if he has said something to us, he is faithful to fulfill that word. God said if we plant and water, he will increase. God said him, we can do all things through him. And he also said that we will have victory through his son, Jesus Christ. And he promises us that our labor will not be in vain. Beloved, believe the word of God. Believe God. We have his promises to stand on. We have his performance in our lives and in the lives of others in history. And we have his continued presence. Therefore, we will never have to give in to the grasshopper complex. We can overcome it in the name of Jesus. I pray that today that this word has been meaningful to you. I thank Sister Michelle for sharing with us. I thank Minister Tabika for sharing her testimony as well. We encourage you all, if you're not connected to a local church and you're in the Baltimore, D.C. area, visit us at New Vision for Life. Truly, the presence of God is there. Truly, he is. We believe in healing, deliverance, definitely salvation, reconciliation, and restoration. That is what we're there for, because that is what God is doing in these days. That's what he is doing. So we thank you for being with us here on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. Come back and visit us again on next Saturday morning at 9 a.m. from 9 until 10. Also, don't forget to visit the church website, www.newvisionforlife.com. Take care. God bless you, and see you on the flip side. God bless you, Minister Tabika. Take care, beloved.
God bless you.
Thank you for listening to Heart with Bishop Etta Banks. Heart to Heart is an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life, Kingdom Builders. Please visit our ministry website at www.newvisionforlife.com. As always, beloved, I pray that God will bless you and bless you mightily. And as he does, you will turn around and bless someone else. And then that person will turn around and bless someone. Then that person will turn around and bless God Almighty for the blessings that he bestowed upon them. And then God, in his awesome and infinite wisdom, will turn around and bless you one more time because you knew what to do with the blessings he bestowed upon you. I thank God for the completion of the circle of blessings. I beseech you, therefore, in the name of Jesus, that you go forth today and be a blessing to someone. And when you do, do so on purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.